else you've been busy. You have this fabulous new book, Bryce Courtney, Storyteller, a memoir of Australia's most beloved writer. And most beloved writer indeed, Christine. I had the very good fortune of meeting your beloved husband several years ago, in fact, and he signed my copy of The Power of One.
Oh, how lovely.
He was just, he was a very special man, as clearly you know, but as readers of his work, he was so generous with his time and with his spirit, I think.
I think he had a very special connection with readers, as Cheryl Ackles said to me yesterday from Better Reading. She knew Bryce well too, and some readers, you know, as Alex Hamill is quoted in the book, you know, won't get off their bum and sign a book, you know. Bryce wasn't like that, and he was always grateful for the loyalty of his readers. And I think by meeting them as well, he really got to know who they were. And when you're a writer and you know who you're writing to, I think it's very helpful. And as he'd started so late, you know, writing at 52 when he started The Power of One, he had so many books in his head. And every time a book came out, you know, he wondered if his readers would like them. You know, so that was especially true of a book like Sylvia. And he didn't know if they'd forgive him if he wrote a second Sylvia, which he did start.
Did he? He did start.
Well, he did, but he was really not enjoying it. He was having so much trouble with finding enough research, which was a problem with the first one. And he just felt really trapped because he'd signed a contract. He wasn't getting anywhere much. And I actually talked him out of finishing it. And years later, he said, thank God there was only one Sylvia. And he went on to write The Persimmon Tree instead, which was a wonderful book.
Yeah, that's the thing. You get writer's block because you have a deadline to commit to, and then you probably lose traction of where your characters are. You need to really write a book from, you know, your passion, as The Power of One was. It was made into that fantastic movie because it was about his life. I mean, you can have a passion about your life and where you came from, but then you've got to find other passions in your life to express, you know?
That's right. Fortunately, Bryce, you know, had such an insatiable curiosity, and he used to say, I write to learn stuff. And he was always on the lookout, you know, for a good story. When we were in Israel in January 2012, and we knew it was, you know, the place where the famous Battle of Beersheba was fought, which Australia was involved with. And he said, you know, that's something I should think about, you know, writing a book about. And so, and like Jessica, you know, the family of Jessica came to him and said, we want you to write Jessica's story, which was a big responsibility, but he couldn't pass that up. It was just so extraordinary. The one book he didn't want to write, but which he felt he had to write, was April Fool's Day, because his dear son Damon begged him to write it. And he used to say, Dad, the world needs to know. It's just the HIV virus, you know, which he'd acquired from contaminated blood for a transfusion for his haemophilia. He said, it's just a virus. It's not a punishment from God.
No. A horrific outcome, obviously, for Bryce and his family.
And a very
deep, beautifully written book. No doubt the hardest book that he's had to write. But the one book that he wouldn't write, if I'm correct, is his own memoir, which leads us to you, Christine, and your decision to write it. What a huge undertaking for you, and may I say, a beautifully crafted book.
Thank you very much. I mean, as a first-time author, I'm truly humbled to hear what you've said, and also the feedback coming from the readers is, you know, they're staying up all night reading it, they can't put it down, it's very compelling. I mean, I suppose I had a good teacher, and in a sense, like Bryce, you know, with my work in the past, you know, I was always writing press releases and brochures and stuff like that, but it's not the same as a book. I sat in on a lot of Bryce's writing courses, maybe something of it went in, and I'd always thought about writing, but Bryce used to say to me, oh, darling, don't you think one writer in the family
no.
is enough?
A family of writers would be wonderful. What was his process, Christine, of writing? Would he lock himself away for hours? Would he have a process of, I'm going to start at this time, finish at this time, or was it just spasmodic?
I think unfolding the chapters was pretty organic. You know, his editor would always want him to map out a story way ahead of him submitting a manuscript on the 31st of August each year. But he said, I can't do that because I never know where a book's going to go. But he was hardwired to a schedule, as he was in his private life. You know, he'd get up early, walk the dog, have breakfast, sit down and write. He'd barely have lunch. At 5 o'clock on the dot, he'd come down, open the fridge door, have a couple of glasses of white wine, have dinner, watch the news, and then about 9:30 he'd often go back, and he'd often work till very late. That's how I finished a book in 7 months each year. But it was, you know, it was, even though he had a great gift and he loved it, you know, it took its toll. You know, he worked probably too long and too hard, and he was kind of addicted to it, I think, you know, in the sense that he said he saw that as his life. We all wished he'd sort of kick back a little bit more, maybe up at Noosa, where one of his great friends, Alex, has a house. And we never even got up there to stay in it.
I don't know why he didn't write in Noosa. I mean, the inspiration looking over the ocean would be amazing.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I actually came up to Noosa. It soothed my soul quite wonderfully, you know, not too long after Bryce passed away. And I'm always grateful to Noosa and the people, you know, who live up there who are so lovely. But, you know, I didn't set out to write this book. You know, I wanted to respect Bryce's wish not to write an autobiography. He said once in an interview, quoting Morris West, you know, I don't much care for the central character. That's the problem about writing an autobiography. And he always felt the publisher off and me off, you know, by saying, what would be interesting about it? But when I reread all his novels and having read these letters, that I found, I actually thought, you know what, maybe he did write his autobiography. There's so much more of Bryce in his books than I ever realised. And, you know, I was actually writing about my little old life in 2020, not thinking I would write Bryce's memoir, because I'd also told his publisher, who'd asked me to write it, look, I'm sorry, I'm going to respect Bryce's wishes. But once I started, the writing muscle grew, and then I found I couldn't stop. But when
the letters,
I began,
Christine, that's, you mentioned the letters, and I know we're not going to give away too much of the book, but please tell us just a little bit about the significance of the letters.
The letters are at the heart of this book. I mean, this is my love story to Bryce. However, I had not known him for decades earlier on in his life, even though I knew people in his life from that time that I could speak to. But in 2020, in June, I found a box of letters in a battered cardboard box in my garage. And I realised they were from Bryce. He'd never mentioned them. I never knew they existed. When I started reading them, I thought, oh my goodness, he went through so much more than I ever imagined. And also, there were so many amazing and wonderful and funny and adventurous stories I never knew about. I never knew that he was a learner farmer. I never knew that he nearly died as a baby. I never knew that several members in his family were great storytellers. And I began to get that sort of niggly feeling, you know, when you don't want to do something that, oh, maybe you should, maybe
you
can.
You have to. What a gift.
Maybe I have to. Maybe this is my destiny to write the first memoir of his book, of his life. And so, you know, on and on it went. And, you know, I must say at first I thought, okay, I'll just write it and I'll present it to his wonderful three grandchildren who weren't very old when their beloved pa passed away. I'll just get it printed at Office Works and I'll give them a copy. And then I handed in, after a lot of persuasion, a few draft chapters to Penguin Random House, and the wonderful Rachel Scully, who edited the book, she loved it and she said, we want it now.
That's the problem, Christine, is that the public, Bryce's public,
we want
this side of him. I mean, we know a lot of him is in those previous books, but we want another angle, another view, which you've provided.
I think they really wanted to know the story of the man behind his books. It's quite true. But, you know, it felt like a big responsibility. Bryce just wasn't, you know, my late husband. You know, he was a public figure, a literary hero known around the world. And you think, gosh, a really good, famous writer should be writing this, not me, you know.
Well, you now are a good, famous writer also, so full credit to you. Before I let you go, one thing I noted in the book that I found really interesting is that you had made a resolve not to be with Bryce, but it seems to me that your attraction, your mutual respect of each other was palpable, you know, from the very early days. So what was the turning point, if you would, about why your resolve crumbled?
Bryce was the man who had come up a long and hard road and he knew how to get what he wanted. He eventually
and he got
me
it,
down.
Didn't he? He got you too.
And, you know, as he said in Family Confidential, it was a long, slow maturation that began in friendship. And he really encouraged me by saying, darling, when you're young, you know, you jump into bed and you think you fall in love. But when you're a little older, you fall in like, and then you fall in love. And I knew he was right. I just made him wait a bit.
As you should have.
Bravo.
Oh, absolutely, as we say in the paraphrase.
And Christine, I mean, your story in itself is amazing. Are you going to write something about your life to date?
Well, so many people have asked me about that. Mm. And yes, you know what? I'm going to. I started the book Annapurna Sunrise. I've written 30% of it before I got distracted to write the memoir of Bryce. So when I've had a little bit of a rest, maybe up at Noosa, I promise I will finish that book.
I want to hear about the Himalayan part of your life. I mean, that is amazing, doing expeditions in that part of the world.
Was a great adventure, and Bryce had been to Nepal, but sadly, he's after all the running, his knees gave out, and he couldn't join me in November 2007 when I went back to go into the Everest region. But you know, I just want to thank all the readers for their love and support and kindness to me, and I do promise them that this book is a bucket full of tears and a belly full of laughs that reads like the tales in one of Bryce's own books. And I thank them for considering putting it under their Christmas tree this year.
It is beautifully written. It is an incredible book. It is full of warmth and love and, you know, just a great adventure.
Thank you so much.
So I thank
very
you so
humbling
much.
To hear that.
Oh, it's so lovely of you to join us this morning. I imagine it's not always easy to talk about somebody you love so dearly, but you did him justice in the book. So we congratulate you on the book and we do thank you for your time, Christine.
Thank you so very much.